Are you someone who loves Christmas to the point that you really hate to take the decorations down, even if it's now January 15th? If you answered yes, you are a Noelophile. And so am I. And this show is for you. Hi, I'm Dot Cannon, also known as Noella Noelophile. And welcome to my Noelophile podcast. On this show, we're going to be talking about Christmas in general and California Christmas in particular.
And this clock came up. I want to do that. And that was kind of it. I had already started making little boxes and cutting out veneer and painting the animals. And then I decided to start carving it and everything.
Artist Liz Stark has more creative ideas than she has time to work on them all. Liz is a very gifted woodworker who does indeed make one-of-a-kind clocks. And she also crafts carved music boxes, plaques, jewelry boxes, and just about any other item in wood, adding designs that incorporate both her wood carving skills and her original art, with themes like wild animals, seascapes, gardens, and a number of other scenes. And she's looking forward to creating some larger items.
Liz, how did you first get interested in woodworking and in carving?
That is a hard one. I got interested in art when I was little, and I wanted to draw bricks perfect. And I was sick a lot, so I had a window that I looked out of, and all I could see is the bricks of the wall next door and the birds and the shadows on the trees. I start doing some watercolors after high school and quit because I was too critical of everything, and I wouldn't hang anything up. And then my friend's church was having a sale, and I thought, oh, I should have something for the sale. So I cut out some crosses. I had some paper that looked like tinted glass, so I decoupaged it on there. And the next year I thought, I can do better. So I got some stained glass and made stained glass crosses. I made five other crosses. I made a little spiritual card to go with each one. And after that, I was looking up something on the website. I saw the site where they were doing chip carving. And I saw they had music going. They were piano repair people, but they did the chip carving too. And they had this piano music going and the turntable with the pieces. And this clock came up. I want to do that. And that was kind of it. I had already started making little boxes and cutting out veneer and painting the animals. And then I decided to start carving it and everything. So it's just like one idea sparks another. And I'll go, oh, not now for this project, but I've got to do that. And so it just keeps going sometimes.
Chip carving is a new phrase for me. What is chip carving?
It's where it's hard for me. That's really, really old school. And it's like you just take out small pieces and they're all kind of V'd together. So that's very sharp and that. Whereas the horse that I did and the other is more of a relief carving and that. So I don't know. It's just a lot of it's very decorative and very precise. You know, you'll have a border where it's real, just precise repetition and that. And I just can't explain it too well.
Although you did explain it very well, I thought.
Okay. It's very much fun, and it makes me really feel good when I do it, and sometimes I just haven't done it for a couple of days. I have to do it. That and doing being back to my colored pencils, which I'm doing now more than the acrylics.
Oh, I'd love to see some of that, too. You brought up
the tiger.
The tiger box's colored pencils?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. No, I didn't know that.
And the horse, too.
We'll have to post those on the website. We have that picture of you with both of those. You brought up something that's the bane of most artists' existence, which is perfectionism. How do you get to a point where you say, okay, it's not perfect, but it's good enough for me to exhibit?
There's a point like that? Oh, God, I know. My friend Christy keeps saying, stop, stop. My friends keep saying, stop. I go, okay. And I go back and I touch it up. And then sometimes I lose the essence of something I had, and I could kick myself in the pants, and if I was physically able to, I might, but I can't get it back. But then sometimes I realize I've gained something else in the process. The horse that I did, I had some beautiful tans. I worked hard to find and reproduce on it, but I wasn't happy with the shading on the face. I thought it was a little too stark, no pun intended, and I so wanted to make his nose a little. I gave him cosmetic surgery on his nose and that. And,
of course, the nose job?
Yes. And he held still for it. And after I did it, though, I lost some of my brighter tans. And I keep going back and forth between the two pictures. I'm going, which one do I like the best? I'm going, I like that one, but this one's a little structurally better and anatomically. So it's, I struggle with that all the time.
I think most artists do, actually. How did you get involved with San Pedro Art Association?
I went to the Wilmington Senior Center to a craft fair, and there Bill and Carlos was there, and they were having a thing coming up, so I talked to them about it and went to theirs, and now I'm, you know, going to another one with them, and they're such nice people and that. And I just love the people in the art world and that, so, and the people in the horse world and the dog world and well.
Liz says she displays her work at a limited number of art fairs.
I want to see how I do, because at 71 years of age, it's really hard for me to cart everything back and forth all the time. And I noticed the last time I went to an art fair, it took me 3 days to recover. I was so tired. And I want to see how I do at the fairs. And someone gave me a place where they take your work on consignment, and they suggested that. It's in Huntington Beach, so it's a little further for me to go back and forth, but it might be worth a try. And I want to get a website going, which I haven't really got going yet, and just see how I do in various venues. I also kind of thinking of a brainstorm idea. I like to design things on my computer, and I start doing a couple of t-shirts. I was thinking making a t-shirt a month thing and that, and posting a t-shirt a month on some site someplace and that.
That's a neat idea.
Yeah. Well, neat and how it turns out is another thing, but who knows? I get so many ideas, especially when I'm sleepless and can't sleep, you know. It's like, or you wake up and you go, oh, yes, I must do that.
What is the creative process like for you from the time that you're struck with an inspiration to the time that you make one of these amazing boxes?
Well, sometimes I just gung-ho on one or two projects, and other times I just need a break from them because I just have to look and see what I'm going to do about it and that, and I get in a spot and I let it go for a while and that. And it usually takes me a lot of pacing back and forth in my house, which I would think I could have lost weight doing that, but it hasn't helped. But,
if you're anything like me, no.
And that. And a lot of pacing back and forth and going, and oh, and no, not that. And white things on scrap paper and that. So it's kind of a very troublesome process at times. I am much better than I used to be when I was younger. I used to be just totally doing the painting and stuff. I used to be just totally obsessed with it. I would really just walk back and forth past it and this and that and, you know, looking at it, wondering about it and everything. And now I'm much gentler on myself. That, so, and I like that. I'm trying to realize now sometimes why I have an essence of something and I like it. Not to worry if it's exactly anatomically correct and not to think if it's exactly the way I had pictured doing it, but to say, hey, I like it and don't fuss with it. Leave it alone. If you want to change something, do it on another one.
That is so hard to get to that space, too.
Yes.
What have you learned? What's one of the most important lessons you've learned about yourself as an artist over the time that you've been making your art?
Well, I've learned that it's okay to make mistakes. I'm rough on myself, but I'm much more forgiving also. And I've learned that other people are very supportive of me, and I've got very good friends and neighbors that say, hey, you know, that's good, and, you know, leave it alone and that. Or some people say, well, you know, I would have did a little this or a little that. And sometimes I think, great idea. And sometimes I go, yeah, that's a good idea, but it's not where I was going with it, you know. And I hope that they don't feel insulted because I value their opinion very much.
Where can people get a hold of you if they want you to make something custom? Because I know you do custom work. I have just bought something from you that my friend is going to adore.
Well, I have the website that I have. It's not set up for showing my stuff yet, but they can email me on my website. And that would be k9puppypaws@verizon.net.
K9, the number 9, puppypaws@verizon.net.
Right.
And why do you call yourself K9 Puppy Paws?
Well, because I used to train dogs back in the day, and I loved doing it. And I was working part-time for a man, and helping him out with some extra work that he had, and he wanted me to do some research for him. I didn't have a computer, so he loaned me his, and I said, I don't have it. And he suggested it, actually, and I've kept it ever since. I just love it.
I love it, too. What's next for you? What's another project that you're really looking forward to making in the future besides these glorious boxes?
Well, I want to get into the T-shirts, and I want to... Every now and then I want to write a little something. I have little cartoons and stuff and that that I make. But I think at one point, and I don't know if I'll ever get into it, I don't have a big place to do my woodworking like I wanted to. And what I really started out wanting to do was furniture, like tables and cabinets with inlays and that. And that's what I really had started out, and I kind of got this direction. So I guess what I want to work on most is being a good person, paying it forward to people, and just finding a place in life. I was adopted, and I didn't have any brothers or sisters, and I don't know, I feel, now that I'm older too, I feel disconnected in a way, and that I'm making more friends, I'm feeling connected in that way, but another part of me says, gee, who am I going to leave it to when I'm gone, you know? How is it going to be passed on? How I as an essence being passed on? And it saddens me at times to think that way. But it is what it is, and I'll make of it what I can make of it. So.
Liz, thank you for your time today.
Oh, thank you for talking to me and taking your time and for being the delightful person that you are and that lovely smile.
You and I have been listening to artist Liz Stark. If you'd like to know more about her work or to place a custom order for something special in wood, you can contact her at caninepuppypaws@verizon.net. That's caninepuppypaws@verizon.net. And that concludes this edition of Noelophile. Thank you for listening, and may your Christmas season be colorful, high quality, and crafted with love.